Good morning, C3 family. What a privilege it is for us to worship together today. We want to hear from you, so be sure and engage with us in the chat and comment section below. If you've got a praise report to tell us about or a prayer request, we want to hear from you, so email that to prayer@trinitydallas.com. As a church family, we're going to continue to put God first. So take a moment before the end of our time together to give your tithes and offerings by following the links below or by texting C3 Trinity to 77977. Also, remember to subscribe to our YouTube channel for notifications about our newest services online, because we don't want you to miss out on anything that's happening here at C3 Trinity. Now hit the like button below and let's worship the Lord together.
Well, God bless you today. It's so exciting to be with you this morning by live stream. And I can just see in my mind's eye so many of you now sitting, looking at your computer screens or your tablets or your phones. And I just want to say to you this morning that Jesus has not forsaken you. He's not forgotten you. That, hey, everything is going to be okay. Let me say that again. Everything is going to be okay. We're going to get through this because we're together in this. And even though we're not together socially or physically, we are together spiritually. We are in the same spirit. And my prayer for this morning has been that God's spirit would be here in power and that you would tangibly feel his presence right this moment. Right this moment. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this time that we have together. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You know, as I am praying here, I just sense and feel that there's a... In my mind's eye, there's a woman that is watching this morning who has been infected with this COVID-19 virus. We've tested positive. And I just feel like the Lord would just say to you now, if you just release now the fear and the anxiety of it and put your trust in God, that God is going to heal your body now in Jesus' name. And even the little bitty symptoms that you've already felt, even those will be gone now in Jesus' name. And so I just speak life over you now and peace to you now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. For all those of you who have symptoms of any kind of virus, from cold symptoms to fever to any of those symptoms, right now I just speak healing over your body now in the name of Jesus. I speak life to you. Now remember, we serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We serve the one whose name is above every name. And so I just speak life over you now, peace to you now, healing over your body in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Well, fantastic. Well, I'm thrilled to be able to be with you today and excited about the opportunity that we have this morning. And I just want to begin by just a little review of what we've been talking about over the last few days and weeks. March the 15th, 2 weeks ago, I told you that out of Psalm 91, 1 and 2, the Bible says that he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Well, we all want to abide under the shadow of the Almighty, but the key is to find that secret place. And that God has given us some time, he's given us some margin in our life where we can begin to find that secret place, that time that we have with the Lord. It goes on to say, I will say of the Lord, he's my refuge and my fortress, my God. Yes, we want God to be our refuge. We want him to be our fortress. But the rest of the verse says, in him I will trust. But you got to put your trust in him. Last week we talked about Mark chapter 4. And in Mark chapter 4 is a story of Jesus saying to his disciples, get in the boat, we're going to go to the other side. And then he immediately went into the stern and got on a pillow and went to sleep. And a big storm came up. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow, says in Mark 4. And they awoke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? And the Bible says, then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. The wind ceased. There was a great calm. But he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you do not have faith? You know, Jesus said, we're going to go to the other side. That was a promise. We're going to go to the other side. And you and me and our church and our friends and our family, we're going to get to the other side. We're going to get to the other side together. And we're going to look back at this moment, and my prayer is that we don't regret we didn't spend more time with God. And so that's what this is all about today. I want to talk to you about redeeming the time. Redeeming the time. Making the most of our time in sheltering in place. Making the most of our time as we're isolated from one another. You know, it's really kind of a disconcerting feeling to be isolated as we are. I mean, to drive this morning off 75 onto Knox Street, it's like you're going into a ghost town a little bit. I mean, it's an amazing kind of feeling and sense of being at home all day with your family. You know, it's a great thing, but it's odd feeling. It's different for us, and it's easy for anxiety and fear really to kind of come into our lives. But I believe that the Lord has given us this time for us to draw closer and nearer to Him. Last week I preached from Mark 4, that passage that I read to you just a few minutes ago, you know, where Jesus was asleep on the pillow and woke up, and he said to his disciples after he rebuked the wind and the sea, he said, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? It's an interesting note. Someone, I think Larry Lyons, sent me this. This is a picture of Pope Francis on Friday evening. And you see this picture of Pope Francis, you'll see that he is preaching his homily, his sermon, to an empty St. Peter's Square. I'm not sure the last time in history that the Pope preached to an empty square, but he's preaching to an empty square. And what's interesting is he used the exact same passage of Scripture that I used last week. I guess he's live streaming us and heard the message and got inspired. I'm not sure exactly how all that worked out, but he's preached the exact same passage. Here's what he said. He said, among other things, he says, we have carried on regardless, thinking that we would stay healthy in a world that is sick. Now that we are in a stormy sea, we implore you, Jesus, wake up, Lord. And he says, why are you afraid? Why have you no faith? Lord, you're calling us. You're calling us to faith, which is not so much believing that you exist, but coming to you and trusting in you. He talks about Lent. He said, this Lent, your call reverberates urgently to be converted, to return to the Lord with all our hearts. You're calling on us to seize this time of trial as a time of choosing. It's interesting what he says here. He says, it is not the time of your judgment, but of our judgment. A time to choose what matters and what is passing away. A time to separate what is necessary from the things that are not. It is time to get our lives back on track in regard to you, O Lord, as well as to others. And so the Pope is laying down this message for the Roman Catholic Church, but it applies to all of us who are Christ followers. That God is giving this moment. It's not his judgment. It's our judgment. Look, it's giving us time to examine our own lives, to examine our own walk with God, to examine our own spiritual disciplines and habits, and decide, are we living for those things that really matter, or are we not? One of the producers of the movie Unplanned said something about this time. Seal McCormick sent this to me. In 3 short months, just like he did with the plagues of Egypt, God has taken away everything that we worship. God said, you want to worship athletes? I'll shut down the stadiums. You want to worship musicians? I'll shut down the civic centers. You want to worship actors? I'll close all the theaters. You want to worship money? I'll shut the economy down. I collapse the stock market in a day. You don't want to go to church and worship me? I will make it where you can't go to church. He goes on to say, maybe we don't need a vaccine, Maybe we need to take this time of isolation from the distractions of the world and focus on a personal revival where we focus on the only thing in the world that really matters, that is our relationship with Jesus. These are not far instances from what the Word says. I've been reading on my one-year Bible. I hope all of you who are Trinity Church folks have been reading your Bible and have gotten up to speed. But on Friday, it spoke from Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 11, where God says, "Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, his statutes, which I command you today, lest when you have eaten and are full, you've built beautiful houses and dwelt in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold are multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led you through this great and terrible wilderness in which there were fiery serpents and scorpions, a thirsty land where there was no water, who brought water for you out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you," says, "that he might humble you, and he might test you to do you good in the end. Then you say in your heart, my power and my might of my hand have gained me this wealth. But you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is him who gave you the power to get wealth." He says, look, when I bless you, when I pour out the abundant blessings on your life and your wealth increases and your herds increase and your household increases and your silver and your gold increases, don't forget the Lord. And I have a strange suspicion that perhaps we've been guilty of that. That we've been forgetting. Maybe we've checked the box and we've gone to church. Maybe we checked the box and we've sort of given our time, our talents, our treasure. But in a way, we sort of lean back in our seat and say, wow, look what I've done. Look what I've done. And the writer of Deuteronomy says, beware that you do not forget the Lord. On Saturday, yesterday's reading, do not think in your heart after the Lord your God has cast out the peoples before you. Remember, they went into the promised land. The Lord went before them, cast out all the peoples before them. Do not think in your heart after the Lord does this, it's because of my righteousness the Lord has brought me in to possess this land. But it is because of the wickedness of these nations that the Lord is driving them out before you. It's not because of your righteousness or the uprightness of your heart that you go in to possess the land. You get the blessing that I have for you. But the Lord did this before that he may fulfill his word, which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Therefore, understand that the Lord your God is not giving you this good land to possess because you're righteous, for you are a stiff-necked people. God gets us. He gets us. I spent a little time doing a little art for you today. I want to take you a look. Take a look at this cycle that I've drawn. What you'll see at the top of this cycle is God's blessing. You could say this is kind of where we live today in God's blessing. We live in a nation that's at least pointed towards righteousness, peace, prosperity rules our nation. But many of us and many of the institutions of our nations have apostatized. That means they're in apostasy. What does that mean? That means they've left their post. They've left their place of walking with you. They've forgotten the things that you have done for us. The idolatry and sin and rebellion begin to rule in our place. And God's blessing then moves into apostasy because we feel like because of our righteousness we've gained all these things. Because of our mind that we have made ourselves rich. And we apostatize. We come into apostasy. We walk away. We leave our post. We leave our place with God. And, of course, that brings judgment. Judgment that comes in the form of crisis, disasters. I don't care what you call it, it's the opposite of blessing. The Bible calls it a curse. And there in the midst of that judgment, we begin to cry out to God. We turn back to God, and He rescues us because we repent. We turn back to the Lord, and we turn back to following and loving Him. And then as we turn back to following and loving Him, we come into God's blessing again. Now, you can see this pattern with the children of Israel. You can see it during the times of the judges. You can see it during the times of David, King David. You can see it at the times of Jesus. And you can see it in the time of the 19th, 20th, and 21st century America. You can see it in the world today. Now, I'm not going to tell you this morning where we are on this cycle. I'll let you determine that for yourself. But here's what I know, is that if we don't turn back to God, when we've got this opportunity to turn back to Him, things are not going to get better. This is going to be another round of judgment. And in this moment, I agree with the Pope when he said, this is not about you judging us, God. It's about us judging ourselves. I want to live in that place of righteousness, peace, and prosperity, God's blessing. But in order to do that, we got to find that secret place. We got to cry out to God and believe that He is able as our fortress and our refuge. Solomon found this out in 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Verse 11 says, Solomon finished the house of the Lord and the king's house, and Solomon successfully accomplished all that came into his heart to make in the house of the Lord and in his own house. You see, Solomon was the son of David, and David had conquered the land and brought peace to the land. He'd brought the two tribes, the tribe of Judah and the tribe of Israel, back together. And his son Solomon now has taken the reins from David. And Solomon, in a time of peace, in a time of prosperity, in a time of blessing, builds the temple. And the first 10 verses of 2 Chronicles 7 really lay out just the majesty and the glory and the coming of the presence of the Lord in that temple. And Solomon has finished now the house of the Lord. He's finished his own house. Everything that he had in his heart to magnify and to glorify the Lord, he put forth in this house and in this temple. Verse 12 says, then the Lord appeared to Solomon on the night that he dedicated the temple. And he said to him, I have heard your prayer, and I have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. Verse 13 says, when I shut up heaven and there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people. You see, that's where we are today. That's where we are today, is that there is a pestilence among us. It's not just among people here in Dallas. It's not just among the people here in the United States. It's all over the world. Again, it's a moment for us to reflect and say, are we where we're supposed to be in our relationship with God? So he says, look, I love this temple that you built for me. I've chosen this place for myself, but there's a day coming when I shut up the heavens, when there is no rain, when I command the locusts to devour the land, or I send pestilence among my people, that there is a response that I'm looking for. Verse 14 says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. You see, the problem that we have is that we want God to heal our land without all the other stuff. We want Him to heal our land. But hearing from heaven, forgiving our sin and healing our land comes as a result of something. Remember, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. We all want to abide under the shadow of the Almighty, but we got to find the secret place in order to abide there. We got to put our trust into God in order for Him to be our refuge, our fortress. But in the same way, if we want God to heal our land, take this pestilence from us and heal our land, if we want Him to hear our prayers, if we want Him to forgive our sin, then there's something incumbent upon us. What is it? He said, if my people who are called by my name. That's the first place we need to start. Are you among the people of God? I'm not talking, do you have a church membership somewhere? Or are you a part of someone's ministry that you give to their ministry? Or are you somehow you were baptized when you were young and you belong to the church where you were baptized? That's not what I'm talking about. If my people who are called by my name, are you a born-again, bona fide Christian? Are you a child of God? Have you been transformed from the inside out? Are you not the same person that you used to be? That God has changed your life, he's transformed you, and you know that you're a Christian because you now have the witness of the Holy Spirit who's both in you and with you. That's who he's talking to. If my people who are called by my name, he says, secondly, if they will humble themselves. What does that mean? That means, hey, step down a little bit. I have a favorite saying now. Tap the brakes on all the activity and all the stuff that you find meaning and pleasure in. Just tap the brakes on that a little bit. Stop just a little bit. Humble yourself. What does that mean? To change your posture. You know, not one of, I can handle this, I can do it, I, you know, put it on my shoulders, I'll go for it. When things get tough, that I'll get going. No. Humble yourself. And the quicker you humble yourself, you see, the Bible says that we don't want the rock to fall on us and humiliate us. But we want to fall upon the rock and be broken. And so in humbling ourselves, what do? We admit privately to ourselves and publicly to the Lord that we aren't all that we purport to be and that we desperately need you, Lord. So if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and they will pray. After humbling ourselves is that we will turn our heart to God, but we'll also turn our mouth to him. And we'll seek him. We'll pray. We'll ask God to move and change our lives. You know, one of the things in prayer that we can do is we can address this scourge by its name and command to leave our home, leave our workplace, our friends, and our family. We have that kind of power. But it doesn't come just in us intrinsically. It comes as a result of humbling ourselves, asking God, praying to God, seeking his face. That's the third thing he wants us to do, is to seek his face. You know, we are notorious about seeking the hand of the Lord, aren't we? We want God to give us something. We want God to do something for us. We want God to show us something. But you know, when it says to seek his face, that means we just want to be with him. When's the last time you were just being with God? You weren't asking him for anything. You didn't need him to do anything. You didn't want him to do anything. You just wanted to be with him. You see, the secret place is the place where we just be with God. Just be with him. And we not only learn to do that in the morning or the evening or whenever it is that you have your devotional time, if you have one at all, but it's really learning that kind of lifestyle just to be with God. That's what he wants. So if we humble ourselves, we pray, we seek his face just to be with him, and turn from our wicked ways. Release those things that are so important in life-giving to us and give them back to him. Then he says, then I will hear from heaven, I'll forgive their sin, and I'll heal their land. That's what God wants to do in our lives. You see, he is looking to and fro right now throughout the whole earth to find a person whose heart is loyal to him. And this morning I'm asking you, is your heart loyal to God? Have you found that secret place? Have you used this time wisely? And here's the thing. If the answer to that is no, then the good news is you still have time. You still have time. Take a walk today. you know, find some time. You know, sometimes you can't find any time. Make time just to be with God. Say, well, how do I do that? Just take a deep breath. Let all the cares and the worries of the world go. And just say, Lord, here am I. And let him speak to you. Let him talk to you. You're going to be amazed at what all God has to say to you. Because this is an hour for us to examine ourselves. To examine ourselves. I want to end today in a passage from Joshua. Joshua chapter 24, 15. Joshua 24, 15 says, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river are the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You know, serving the Lord is just not complete by, you know, going to church and doing the religious things that we have so easily fallen prey to. But it really is about humbling ourselves. And we don't have all the answers. We don't know all the ways. But God, you do. It's humbling ourselves. It's praying. It's seeking God's face just to be with him. And it's turning from all the things that so easily distract us. You see, during this time, there's some things that you probably need to trim out of your life so that you have time, you make time to spend with the Lord, to be with him. He loves you. He's got great things in store for you. You know, if he wanted to get you, you would really already be gotten. He doesn't want to get you. He loves you. And this morning, if you're battling with this virus, I just speak life over you now in the name of Jesus. And I say, as you turn your heart to God, you humble yourself, you let God know that you want to just be with him. There's something supernatural and powerful about his presence. And I speak healing over you and life to you now. I command all the worries and the cares, all the strife, all the anxieties and the fears now, break the power of them now in Jesus' name. I speak life over you. And let's redeem the time. We have time now. Let's redeem that time. Spend it with the Lord. Spend it with our families. Grow in our relationship with God. Love our children, our grandchildren, our spouses, our friends, our neighbors. Take yourself out of that center circle of your life and put Jesus in the middle. Spend time with him. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. You know, the Bible's clear. The Bible's clear is that we have an opportunity to redeem the time. We redeem the time because the days are evil. We redeem the time because God's given us a moment to seek him, to know him. We redeem the time because he loves us. He has great things in store for us. You know, the next season of your life is going to be the best season of your life. But part of the contingency is that you make the most of this time. I'm going to pray for you now and release you. Father, thank you. Thank you for the opportunity we've had this morning, Lord, to have this online virtual experience. We're not together personally or physically, we're not together. Socially, we're not together. But spiritually, we're right in here. God, you have made it possible for us to feel as one body, one people. And Lord, you're putting people on our hearts at this very moment. Lord, help us to call them today, to encourage them, to bless them. And Lord, be with us. Lord, as we make time for you, come into that place and help us, Lord. You know our frame. You know how jacked up we are. God, help us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you for joining us by live stream today. Next week on my Instagram account, I'll have a devotion for you every day. of the week next week. And on Wednesday at noon, we'll be praying together live stream. So 12 noon on Wednesday, Central Standard Time. God bless you and thank you for being with us today. Have an awesome Sunday and make time to be with Jesus. God bless you.